So Lisa is our councillor, and we'll talk about council stuff in a minute, but you're here on behalf of what's happening for Waitangi Day. We just mentioned it in the news here in the town hall.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that's tomorrow from 10 till 2, as you mentioned. And we'll be having a live feed from the forum tent, actually, which is where a lot of kōrero from many different speakers happen. That's from 10 o'clock. And so you have the likes of Kitty Tapu Allen, Chloe Strawbit, Hilda Harawira. You've got a whole host of people who will be facilitating those kōrero. So there's one session at 9:30, another at 10:30, another at 11:30, and another at 12:30 with 4 to 5 speakers speaking on different things. And there's also from 12:30, or was it 1:30? There'll also be an overview of the hui that took place at Tūranga Waiwai on the 20th of January and some of the outcomes that have come out of Waitangi. So it should be fantastic. So that's going to be set up in the supper room.
So that overview, that's coming through the live feed?
That will be coming through the live feed. So I have no idea what that's going to be.
Well, you might have a bit. You were at that hui, though, so you'll have a bit of an idea.
There were 12,000 people at that hui, and there were 12,000. A whole number of workshops that were being undertaken at any one time. So it was massive. So to actually be all over that in one day was quite hard. And it was sweltering hot.
Yes, I
bet.
But
it was incredible.
Having said to be all over that in one day was quite hard, you had to be a little bit because you were asked to speak on the news in Australia or something, were you? Did you get interviewed?
I didn't ask to speak on there.
No, you didn't ask. No, I'm saying you were asked to.
Oh, yeah. It was Sky TV Australia, Sky News TV Australia. And they were going around interviewing people in Hamilton and in Ngārua Wāhia. And I was contacted by one of our council staff because I was actually at that hui. Yeah, they came to Whaingaroa, to my house, and interviewed me, and that was really interesting. So they asked,
So they sent a crew over?
No, they've got their New Zealand correspondent.
They got on the ground. It wasn't just like a live-to-air telephone call or something.
No, they actually got on the ground. And I asked the young guy who was the reporter why did they choose this? Why was that so interesting to Australia? And he said, we're really interested because of what happened with No Vote for the Indigenous people of Australia.
Well, I don't know what that is.
When they're giving the Indigenous rights, the Aboriginal people in Australia, the opportunity to have an oversight group in government an advisory role, I suppose. And so it went out for a referendum. And when they first went out to have a referendum for the Voice Australia, is what they called it, at that time there was about 70 to 75% of Australians at that time that were in support of it. However, by the time the referendum came up and they went to vote for that, over 60% of Australians voted no. So it was a huge sway against an Indigenous voice in Australia that happened last year. And so you can imagine for Indigenous people in Australia, that was incredibly upsetting and something that perhaps it's something for us to very much be aware of for Waitangi Day 2024, 184 years after the signing of Te Tiriti at Waitangi, that we are looking at a change, possibly a referendum to change the content of the treaty, with the bill that has been proposed by the ACT Party with the coalition government. Mm. So it's something I believe that we really need to be vigilant about, and one only has to look at what was published in the New Zealand Herald on Saturday, which was a 12-page insert, basically as part of the propaganda machine around Māori. But I won't go into that because tomorrow is actually about unity, kotahitanga, and bringing the community in to learn about Te Tiriti or Waitangi and activities that they can participate in, learn about Te Tiriti, learn about the partnership between Te Iwi Māori and Pākehā and Tauiwi and Tangata Tiriti. So it's going to be an exciting day. We've got activities on how you can take action. There'll be lots of information and specific quotes up on the walls. And like I said, we have the live feed from the forum tent at Waitangi. And we also will have a little area where you'll be able to watch YouTube clips from Wana Jackson and Anne Salmon and others, that you'll be able to just sit and watch and listen. And we really encourage people in our community to come down. It's from 10 till 2. You can come and go. Kōrero together, share ideas and information, and then look at what are the next steps that you can take to learn about tiriti and what action that you can take.
I was just interested in going back to the Australia connection, because I remember at some point in my 30s realizing that, like, we get wrapped up in our own story here, but this is a story that's been repeated in various forms throughout almost the entire world. Which
it's
is
it's global. You just have to look at what's happening.
The colonial project. That's current.
In Gaza,
but there are lots of places like Australia and Canada, and especially South Africa, trying to reconcile their history. You know.
Oh, and you watch.
It helps us. It helped me at that time to place that into that context. It's not just about our squabble here, and there's a lot of squabbling going on.
Well, I strongly recommend people to go and look at the no vote or the yes vote. There's Chow with Moana had an interview with some of those people, indigenous people who are involved in that, and how incredibly gutted they were and disappointed, because what they were asking for was merely a seat at the table to be advisors to the government. And it went from, like I said, from between 70% and 75% of Australians wanting that, to by the end of it, when the referendum went out, it swung completely against it.
I must admit, I would have expected there to be the no vote to win, based on our experience here of people's attitudes towards having Māori seats in councils, that even though it would give a seat at the table, it wouldn't actually outvote Pākehā.
And I think that's what we need to really be mindful of.
Yeah.
With Waitangi this year, it's a really poignant time, and that it's an opportunity for non-Māori to participate in this space, to stand up for and ask ourselves what it is to be someone who lives in Aotearoa, New Zealand, in 2024, and what that looks like, and particularly for us here in Whaingaroa, when we know in our community plan, Raglan Naturally, when we went out to engage with the community, what do we value and what do we hold important? And high up in that was our relationship with Māori and the history on this landscape. So really encourage people to come down tomorrow and kōrero, to share, to learn, and also be part of creating quite a significant piece of artwork based on what Tama Iti has been doing in Waitangi, and making a commitment to tiriti, and we're really looking forward to seeing everyone there tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And as someone who did the Raglan Naturally's Te Tiriti course, what was it officially called? I can't remember. Anyway, last
Tanga
year.
Tanga Te Tiriti.
Yeah, there we go. I can't recommend that highly enough.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I've been saying this as someone who pays a lot of attention, or has in the past over the last 30 years paid a lot of attention to what's going on in the media and tried to be informed. I was really ill-informed about what is actually in Te Tiriti. And we have to say Te Tiriti not because it's the right thing to say, but because there were two versions. There was the treaty in English and Te Tiriti in Māori, and that's the relevant one.
Yeah, and it's recognised internationally.
To international standards, and the fact that most of the hapu leaders signed that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And that was the one they read.
Yeah, and those who signed the English version would have made the assumption, because Māori was the language of the day. It was the language that everyone spoke in 1840. So English wasn't the language of the day at that time. So it's commonly known that those rangatira who signed the English version would have assume that they were signing exactly what was written in the Māori version. But we can discuss that more. But I really encourage people to come down, like I said, tomorrow between 10 to at the town hall, and you can find out and go on the mailing list for when other treaty workshops are going to be happening in Raglan, and that's through Raglan Naturally. So Gabriel Parsons will be coordinating that for the next steps. Treaty, tangata treaty courses, they are so valuable, and they're usually only $20, and there's so much to learn. And I think everyone, Māori and Pākehā and tangata treaty, should, if you haven't done a course like that, do so, because it's awesome. There's so much to learn.
And I can just say, I was hesitant about going to it because I felt like my brain was a little overloaded and I was going to have 8 hours of information dump into my brain. And I won't be able to remember everything I learned. But it wasn't like that at all. It was a very experiential thing. And in fact, putting aside all the things it's good to learn about your country and putting aside all those issues, it's actually an enjoyable day.
It is an enjoyable day.
I'd recommend it based on that alone.
Yeah, and meeting new people as well. Yeah. You know, there's because the classes are quite full and it's actually a lot of fun. And like you said, it is experimental. Experiential, is that right?
Yeah.
Because there are lots of activities to do. So you're not sitting there like you're in school and you have to sit at a desk. So it's very interactive. So I can highly recommend that.
Yeah. So, yeah, and Raglan Naturally, I'm sure, will be doing some more this year.
They will be. Yep.
Yeah. So we came to talk about Waitangi Day events here in the town hall. Let's just remind people the time and, well, the day's tomorrow, Tuesday. Or if you're listening at 7:15 in the morning, it's actually today. It's Tuesday today on the pre-record. It sounds confusing when I say that, but
yeah, even I looked at you like, what's he talking about?
Yeah, if it's 7:15, it's Tuesday. If it's 9:15 or 9:20, it's Monday.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we're like 9:19 right now.
Yes, but it doesn't play perfectly. All our stuff doesn't line up exactly. It's not like national radio where they've got those pips on the air. And there's also going to be is that hākari? Is that how I say that?
Yes, it is.
It's ceremonial feast.
Yeah, a ceremonial feast, and you have to pre-order, actually. From the club, and I'm not sure how many hāngis are still left. He had 400, so Leo McQueen. I put a post up for him because he's not on social media. So I do have Leo's mobile number if you would like me to share that with everyone.
Is that how we do it? Because I was looking at the poster and I couldn't quite see anything. So,
and I'm not sure where you can buy tickets from, to be honest. So I shall. His number is 021-121-5238, and you can message him to ask where you can get tickets, or you could order through him as well. So that's a hāngi hākari you can have, and it's coming up at 1:00 tomorrow.
All right. Now, let's look at some council stuff. You're the councillor.
Yep, we're back in council. Obviously, one of our biggest focuses for the next month is actually the long-term plan, and I've spoken to you about that before. And so we'll be going out to consult with the community on what we're proposing in the long-term plan in March.
Oh, tickets for the hāngi at the community house and at the butchers. Thank you, Mike.
Awesome. So the fantastic Mike Rarere from the community house has just come in as our little kōrero who has told us that there are tickets available from the community house and from the Raglan Butchers. And did he say 50 or 15?
I thought he said 15 left, and I don't know whether that's just at the community house.
So there apparently is 15 tickets left, and as Aaron just said, he's not sure if that's just from at the community house, but be in quick.
Run, don't walk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to miss out and be very sad.
It's open. They open at 9.
Although you can have a cake and a cup of tea and a cold drink at the town hall.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the
long-term plan. Which
is the council's big spending plan, for those who don't know.
That influences the next 3 years. So the details of that, we're actually having workshops. I've got a workshop on Friday and another one next week. And we are finalising those details, which will go out to the community for your input and feedback.
Yeah.
And then we'll be having our first council meeting at the end of this month, and we're back into the swing of our council mahi.
And the next community board meeting is next week on Wednesday?
Yes, on Wednesday, which is the 14th of February.
Here in the town hall?
Here at the supper room. Yeah. So everyone that come along, it would be great to see you. 1:30 is a public forum, then 2 p.m. is our main hui.
And did you tell me the other day that you'd had a housing workshop or something like that?
Our housing strategy, we had a workshop online. We've got our draft housing strategy. So it's looking at the things that council can actually influence or do through the processes that we undertake to support housing, you know, whether it's through our consenting. So we will – that draft will go to council for adoption, and then we'll be able to share that out wider with the community. So there's a whole plan of that, and so I'm looking forward to being able to share that with the community in the not too distant future.
So the council is wanting to participate in solutions to the housing crisis.
That's exactly right, and there's only you know, through whether it's through the consenting process, whether it's supporting with papakainga, you know, infrastructure, all of those sorts of things. So using those mechanisms that we can in council to enable housing across the district, because it's really tricky. In fact, I spoke to Axel Beck, who used to be one of my fellow councillors, and he was the CEO of the Waikato Housing Initiative, and his position has now finished up because it was only for a year.
Yep.
And he said, he shared with me some of the frustration of that. The Waikato Housing Initiative, you know, has been running for 7 years and hasn't been able to unlock opportunities for affordable housing within the region because of the complexity. So they're going into being developers in a way, you know, in terms of maybe buying apartments and transferring those into more affordable housing accommodation. So it's a hugely complex environment, the affordability space with housing. So watch this space. We'll be able to share with you our strategy, which is still in draft form.
Mm. And I said in the news bulletin before that the work's getting back down at the wharf next Monday.
Yep.
That was the publicity last year. They haven't changed that date or anything?
No,
that you're aware
not
of?
Yet. No, we're still aiming for the dates that yeah. we've set in place, and you know, really looking forward to the final unveiling, you know, of things like Simon's Kahawai and the interpretive boards and the information boards.
Right, there's
as
some
well.
Artwork from Simon Tefiro.
Yep.
Awesome. And how generally your view, how Raglan survived the summer? Was it not too chaotic, or was there a bit of chaos?
I didn't really hear too much. A few challenges with the freedom camping, but yeah. you know, with sound splash going excellently and no traffic hassles, I think we've done really well as a community. There have been challenges around, you know, overflowing rubbish bins and things like that, but I think when you've got the heaving masses of humanity visiting the western shores of Whangaroa, that will be a challenge. But from my perspective, I think the summer in general went well, given that it was so busy.
I saw Stacey, who's one of the Freedom Camping ambassadors, and she said, I asked her if she'd had any hassles, like anyone getting aggressive with her, but she said no, nothing at all from her perspective. So her job wasn't to go and write fines. Her job was just to let people
know
Freedom
what the story
was.
Yeah, Freedom Camping ambassador, which is awesome.
And she'd had quite a good experience, I think, doing that. So.
But she's so neat anyway that, you know, she is a great person to be an ambassador.
Yeah, yeah. And I think with Sound Splash, there was, I know the day everyone left that morning, getting across the bridge was a bit difficult. But that's,
nothing like in previous years. My sister and her partner.
I haven't tried it consistently each year to like gauge. I just stay at home normally. So.
Yeah. No, my sister and only waiting for like 5 minutes, you know. Okay, yeah. So I think that's great.
I think we're just used to no queue at all. So when we see one, we're like, oh no.
Yeah, immediately think the worst. But they came over really quickly. And I just wanted to mention, going back to Waitangi for tomorrow, my sister and her husband came over from Perth in Western Australia. They live in Esperance, which is southwestern Australia. And Andy is Pākehā. Well, he's Tauiwi, actually. He's Australian. He's a wool classer. He grew up in the outback of...
A wool classer, so he can look at wool, a bunch of wool, and go, oh, that's that class.
Yeah. So
this is a job I've never heard of, but it sounds very Australian.
Yeah, well, it's very important in Australia, and especially in Western Australia, where you've got massive farms and thousands of sheep on any one station. And so he's grown up in the outback, farming background. And when he arrived... they arrived a couple of days before the hui at Turanga Waiwai on the 20th. And he was incredibly fascinated with what was happening. And I sat him at the kitchen table on the Sunday, the day after the hui, and he watched the entire feed.
Right.
He couldn't understand te reo Māori, but he was incredibly fascinated and really moved and motivated, so much so that they went up to Waitangi and visited it up there. They spent 2 days, and he just thought it was incredible for a non-Māori to go into that space to learn really new things with an open heart and an open mind. You know, so I hope that others who come tomorrow to the Waitangi event here at the Town Hall or anywhere else across Aotearoa have open hearts and open minds, and that the Treaty of Waitangi is about unity, kotahitanga, underlying about how we collectively can live here in Aotearoa. So, looking forward to seeing the community tomorrow.
And can I just ask, like, you were at the hui at Turanga Waiwai. What was the, and I don't know, the 12,000 people there and many things happening all at once, but what was the vibe, what was your takeaway from how it was?
It was about unity. It was about...
How were people feeling? Were they feeling positive or were they feeling pessimistic?
There was a variety, you know, of kōrero. You know, you had... people from different spheres who were speaking at different workshops, but overwhelmingly it was about Māori across Aotearoa uniting to have a united front in the face of adversity, you know, with the Treaty Principles Bill being proposed, the referendum, the reo, you know, the repealing of the Māori Health Authority, which seems, you know, the repealing of anything that has anything with Māori associated with it, was a deep sense of unity across Māoridom, but also this really incredibly deep sense of pride about being Māori and standing up to... say I'm Māori and I'm proud to be Māori. And they're lovely words about having a go at speaking the reo, regardless of how much that you know or how little you know, share it, celebrate it, speak it. And the inclusion of everyone, because there were not just Māori there, there were loads of different ethnicities that were there to listen. And, you know, my reo was really poor. But it was just uplifting to be in an environment like that that was celebratory.
Yeah, I don't think David Seymour knows what he's done. I think he's going to trigger a profound sense of unity and a movement.
Well, you only have to look at
and
Ratana.
And his foolish attempts to get himself voted in.
Well, if you were at, you know, you're watching Ratana, you know, the following week, and then what is unfolding over the days at Waitangi, it's incredible. Looking forward to seeing everyone tomorrow, and have a great day.
All right. Thanks for coming in, Lisa, and no doubt we'll talk to you again in a week or two.
Yep.
All right, folks, we're going to have a little break. When we come back, we're talking permaculture with Finn McAsee.